the best Ravens coverage.
What time is
it? It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. We're getting you some news from the Nest. Do it a little differently today. We'll look at the Raiders, the team that the Ravens will be playing on Sunday. Raiders, they fell to the Chargers 22-10 on Sunday out in L.A. Vinny, what did you see on the film?
All right, let's look at the offense first.
Yeah, we'll do the defense later on, and we'll do the defense at 12:45.
I thought, offensively, Devontae Adams still a stud. He's still a good player, still runs good routes, looks fast, looks explosive, all those things. You got to account for Devontae Adams. I mean, he's by far their best weapon. Now, Jacoby Myers, he's okay. He's nothing special. He's a littler guy that, are you worried about him? Nah, not really. And then Trey Tucker, number 11. He's a smaller, really quick guy. He's their punt returner, too. So that's a small, quick, fast guy that they want to get the ball to and get yak yards to. Now, the thing is with their receivers, well, let me talk about Gardner Minshew. Minshew, he hasn't changed. He likes to dink and dunk. And he's going to get the ball out quick. He'll make mistakes under pressure. The fumble that he had, he kind of looked to throw it, held it, and then threw the ball, but it was backwards and stuff, and then Chargers picked it up, and it was a big momentum deal. I mean, Minshew's, he's okay. I mean, he beat the Ravens last year when he was with the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
But they got to get pressure around him, get people around his feet and stuff. He does not like that, and he'll throw it to one of them. Now, their running backs, Zaire White, he's got some quickness about him and stuff. I mean, he really didn't get a chance to do much at all against, the Chargers. I mean, Zamir White, he didn't look like he was a real big guy either. I mean, he's just okay. They didn't run the ball very well at all. So he had, White had 13 carries for 44 yards, averaged 3.4. So he's, he was okay, and he had two catches for 2 yards. Now, tight ends is where they got two really good players. Brock Bowers, first-round pick out of Georgia. He's good. And Michael Mayer mm-hmm. from Notre Dame. He was their first-round pick the year before. So they play those two. They're out there all the time. They are all – and both are receiving tight ends. They put them out there together, and when they'll line up to block or whatever, they're not great blockers. Bowers is not a good blocker, inline blocker. Neither is Myers. And that could be part of the problem why they have problems running the ball. Now, their left tackle, Colton Miller, who was their first-round pick in 18, I don't like him. I don't. He's not physical. He's kind of an athletic guy. You can bull rush him, and they did. And he'll bend at the waist and lose the guy. I'm not impressed with him at all. They got to take Ajabo, take advantage of that, man. And then the right tackle, Thayer Mumford Jr., he's a bigger guy, and I'm not impressed with him. I don't think the two tackles are that great in pass pro. I don't think they are at all. You can take advantage of that, and the Chargers did.
Mm-hmm.
The Chargers, Minshew was sacked 4 times, and he was pressured a lot. And I think that has a lot to do with the offensive line. The left guard, Cody Whitehair, not impressed with him either. I didn't think he was that great. The center, Andre James, okay. Dylan Parham, I thought he did a decent job. He's a big guy. Move his feet a little bit, gets in the way. But they don't knock people off the ball. That's a problem with them in the run game. They had 22 carries for 71 yards, 3.2 average. I think the Ravens' defensive line should be able to dominate that group up front. And then Roquan, I could see Roquan having double digits. You know he's going to come back and play much better in this one. And Hamilton will be involved. See, I think they're going to blitz and bring people and stuff. Because why? I don't think they're afraid of other than Davante Adams, I don't think they're afraid of anybody. You know, is Bowers a good player? But I think Hamilton and that can handle him. Hamilton and Mayer were teammates at Notre Dame.
Right.
So, offensively, they struggled a lot against the Chargers. And the Chargers have some dudes that can get after it, too, you know, up front. And they struggled, you know, with Bosa and those people. But Raiders on third down, they were 5 of 14. They only had 296 total yards. They averaged 5.0 per play, which is not great. Passing, net passing was 224. They just had a hard time running the football. And they're going to have a hard time running the football against the Ravens. And when you have a hard time running the ball, you're in third and long a lot. And they're going to try to get some shots. You know, they'll run some reverses and stuff with number 11, with Trey Tucker. They kind of try to use him a little bit like Ravens use Zay. Get some quick screens and do all those types of things with him. But they want to get the ball to Adams and their two tight ends. That's what they want to do. But I was not impressed with their offense at all. Big thing is get pressure on Minshew. Get pressure on him early, and that'll rattle him, and that'll make him make some throws that he doesn't want to make. And then the Ravens got a chance to get some turnovers. Because when we do get to the defense, Cordell, the defense is very good.
Yeah, I mean, look, when I looked at that Raiders game, I thought Zamir White runs the ball pretty strong. Like you said, the offensive line he was only able to get was blocked for him, and it wasn't a lot.
Yeah, because they get there. No movement.
I think there is a scenario here for the Ravens to force them to become one dimensional. And that'll play right into their hands. I think you'll start to see them be more aggressive this week. I think you'll see more of some of those exotic blitzes, some of those nickel blitzes that we didn't see a lot of Thursday night, shockingly. I wouldn't be surprised if we start to see that a little bit more. I actually like Jacoby Myers. I don't think he's any, like you said, he's nothing special.
Nope.
But he is available for them. He seems to always... He put up some sneaky good numbers for them last season. Caught all three of his targets on Sunday. Led them in receiving yards with 61. Not a huge sample size. And offensively, I just don't think they were very good against that Chargers defense that played pretty well. When they're healthy, yep, the Chargers defense, I think, is going to be fine. I think it's all about minimizing those splash plays. That's what bit them in the butt Thursday night against the Chiefs. Some busted coverages, some miscommunications. They gave up some splash plays, and that hurt them. But when they were able to keep the ball in front of them for the most part, especially in the red zone, they're holding them to field goals and stuff like that. I think, and you think back to last year with that Colts game where they came back, that's kind of how they did it. They were able to kind of put some drives together and hit on some big plays. If they can limit that, I really think they'll be okay.
Well, Cordell, here was the Raiders' drive chart. Punt. They went for it. Second series of the game, Antonio Pierce goes for it, fourth and one on his own 41-yard line. And they get stuffed. They lose it, and the Chargers go down and get a touchdown. So they went punt, downs, touchdown, punt, punt, fumble, end of half. Second half, punt, fumble, miss field goal, punt, interception. I mean, that's
not really good.
No, that's not good. And that's the biggest problem they had, you know, was offensively with consistency on the offense. And I think Minshew was a huge part of it because some of his throws were off target. And Bosa was coming. I mean, they were coming. And Khalil Mack, they were coming. And he got nervous in the pocket. And if the Ravens let him sit back there and throw the ball, he'll complete some balls because he's got some people that can catch it.
Yeah, and that's the thing with Minshew. It's usually up and down with him. You know, you never really know what version of Gardner Minshew you're going to get. And honestly, it could change from play to play, drive to drive.
So, no doubt.
I think the big thing will be not allowing him to get confidence early. You got to hit him early. You got to get them off the field quick, because if he's going to be able to put together some drives and pick up third downs in the passing game, then he starts to be a confident player, and confident Gardner Minshew can be a headache for defenses at times.
Well, when you look at the, I mean, the Chargers, Cordell, it was 7-6 at the half. 7-6 at the half. You know, so it was a low scoring affair because both offenses were struggling.
Yeah.
Because both defenses were doing good. And I can see that happening. You know, the only the biggest difference is, and Herbert is an awesome passer and stuff. And let me just say this, the Chargers, they have a hell of a offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Chargers got a Pro Bowl left tackle. They got the fifth pick of the draft at right tackle, who's good. You know, so they've got a good offensive line. And the Raiders pretty much shut them down. I mean, 0-7
yeah.
on third down. So it's going to be interesting. But the big difference, like I was going to say, is one big difference, Lamar.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're going to do all this blitzing and stuff, what are you going to do with Lamar?
Right.
You know, that's the thing.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get to the buy or sell. We'll bring in Quick Draw, answer some questions in the world of sports. Check in on the stock market as well. That's next here on The Fan.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 1057, The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland in for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. Playing a little buy or sell. Coming up at 12:30, we'll play you some of this Ravens audio here from Lamar Jackson, John Harbaugh, among others as well. But right now, let's take a look at that stock market.
The market is pretty flat, Cordell. The Dow is down 40. S&P's up 4. NASDAQ is up 52. DraftKings down 67 cents. Under Armour is up 18 cents to 666.
Well, we'll get our sports topics today started in Major League Baseball, where the Phillies, they've essentially locked up the National League East at this point. I mean, there's, you know, it's not officially clinched, but an 8-game lead with, you know, 14-15 left to play. That's essentially their division. And it would mark their first division title since 2011, the last of 5 consecutive playoff trips for them at the time. Now, the past 2 years, they've made a lot of noise in October, won some big series there, but it's always been as a wild card team that seems to get hot in that initial round and give themselves some momentum. This year, it'll be different. They're going to have to navigate that layoff between game 162 and the start of the NLDS. Buy or sell, Cordell, that change will actually work against the Phillies this year.
I'll sell it. I think this is just a really good baseball team. They've got hitters all through that lineup. They've got star power. They've got really good pitching. It's a veteran team. I don't really see that phasing them right now. They just seem like a team that, and they've had to weather their own handful of storms this season as well. They've had some ups and downs. But I think the world of the Phillies right now.
Let's move over to tonight's game. The Dolphins and Bills are facing the first short week scenario of the 2024 season. And for Miami, that quick turnaround, it's not helping them at running back. Raheem Mostert has already been ruled out after missing a pair of practices earlier this week with a chest injury. Devon Achan, meanwhile, he's also missed some practice time with an ankle injury, still being considered questionable heading into tonight. Now, nobody on their staff seemed to run well for them last Sunday in their win, except for Jeff Wilson, but he only received 5 carries in that game, and it was a close one throughout the second half. Buy or sell, Vinny, Miami can overcome being one-dimensional to have a competent offensive performance tonight.
I'm going to buy it. And Buffalo's defense is not great. Secondary is very average. They do have, you know, Rousseau, and they can rush the passer. They can get after the quarterback. I'm just feeling the Dolphins tonight. Short week. They don't have to travel. Usually the home teams have the advantage.
I believe they are slim favorites right now, 2.5, if mm-hmm. I'm not mistaken. We'll do our picks before the show's done, by the way. Moving over to the NBA, there's been rumblings of expansion for quite a while now, but Adam Silver was speaking about this yesterday or earlier this week about the idea of expansion, and he kind of said that they're putting it on the back burner for now. The NBA Board of Governors was originally scheduled to sit down and have formal discussions about it in 2024, but it sounds like they need a little more time. No cities have been formally identified, although Silver did acknowledge Seattle as very interested, given their loss of the Supersonics 15 years ago. Buy or sell, Cordell, the NBA will expand to 32 teams within the next 3 years.
Within the next 3 years, Seattle and who, though, is the only...
Vegas is kind of the other...
Yeah, Vegas is definitely
the other fan
the spot these
choice.
Days. I'll sell it. I don't think they get two new teams in the span of 3 years. I don't see that happening. Seattle's definitely first on the list, though. They've been waiting a while.
Is there enough players?
Well, that's the question. I think they can make it that way. With the way that they've used the G League here recently over the last few years... Now, I'm not saying it'll be quality players,
right?
But that's usually the case for expansion teams. But when, you know, Seattle being able to get their team back, that's a big basketball city out there. I wouldn't mind seeing Seattle get a team again.
And that's kind of the one sport with small roster sizes where right. I think you could overcome that initial
right.
struggle of fielding a competent team because mm-hmm. you only have to find so many good players. Moving over back to the NFL here, Bill Belichick. He's not coaching this year, but still very much in the public eye. In fact, probably even more so in the public eye. Plenty of media commitments for him, mm-hmm. Which also, you know, lines up here with a convenient report earlier this week from Adam Schefter that said, hey, Bill Belichick still interested in coaching. Don't forget about him. He's still here. But the caveat was, quote, he'll be very choosy with his opportunities. We know this past offseason, he only had that one interview with Atlanta. Nothing came of it. Some attributed his pickiness. But what if teams just aren't that interested in a 72-year-old coach that might be stuck in his ways? Buy or sell, Vinny, the interest in Belichick will be just as lukewarm next offseason.
I'm going to soft sell it. I think there'll be some interest. And I think what he's trying to do, Nolan, is by being on TV and stuff, having his personality come out a little bit more. Because on the Manning cast, he was, you know, he's on McAfee every week. So he's getting better and more open and stuff and more likable as this goes on.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get back to the Ravens. We got to speak to John Harbaugh, Lamar Jackson, Kyle Hamilton, Nnamdi Matabike yesterday. We'll hear from those guys next here on The Fan. Playing some of that Ravens audio from yesterday. You just heard from quarterback Lamar Jackson there. There was a play, there were a couple of plays where Lamar lowered his shoulder. The one he was specifically talking about there was when he was going out of bounds and he kind of lowered his shoulder on the corner. I didn't have a problem with it, honestly, because A, he's going out of bounds. And like he said, he's playing football. And I say this all the time when I talk about Lamar Jackson running the ball. He knows how to finish runs. He very rarely gets stood up or allows somebody to get a clean shot on him. So he's going out of bounds and the corner's still coming and he lowers his shoulder on him. And really the corner is the one that got put on his butt. I have right. no problem with that. I'm not saying I want it every time he carries the ball, but every now and then, yeah, you don't get to really hit anybody. You're the one usually taking the contact. If you got an opportunity to throw out some punishment, by all means, do it.
I don't want him doing that. I don't want him to hurt his shoulder or whatever, because if he does by doing that, I mean, Cordell, I'd rather have him take two less yards and slide and know that I'm having for the next play.
If he doesn't know how to slide, because Lamar's not a slider.
Well, he's got to learn how to slide or go down. He's, you know, just in that case, just instead of trying to get every inch, go out of bounds 2 yards earlier, you know, and have no contact. He takes enough contact the way it is. And he, like you said, he does it normally does a very good job. That's the worst job I've seen him do in a long time of taking on contact. But it might be that he was playing that game like the AFC Championship type game, his mentality was in that one to get the W. So do I have a problem in that game? No, not in that game, I don't. But if he continues to do that, yeah, then I have a problem. You know, against the Raiders this week? No. I mean, you got to be sliding. You got to play smart, Lamar. You know, because you want to throw the ball. You got great weapons.
Yeah, he wants to throw it. I mean, we all saw his quote of throwing the ball, though, in the Washington Post. He wants to run it.
Yeah, the only thing is, Cordell, I think he's going to have to run some out of necessity this week, too. I just think it's coming. It's going to be there. They're not going to be called runs. They're going to be called passes. But he's going to take off because the pressure's going to get to him. Trust me, it's going to get there.
Let's hear one more from Lamar Jackson. A lot was made of him playing at a lighter weight this season. Here he is talking about how he felt playing at this weight.
I felt great. I'm not going to lie to you. I believe someone was like, I don't like his weight. You know, he lost weight, and I don't know how he'll look out there. And, you know, those guys are huge. And I'm like, at the end of the day, I'm a grown man, too, just like those guys. So I feel pretty good. Came out the game pretty good. We're going to keep it going.
See, I think, Cordell, you know what happened was when I went back and I watched the film last week from the Chiefs-Ravens playoff game. Remember the one he popped through there on the short yardage play and he got run down? On the deflection pass where he caught, he got run down. I'm guaranteeing you that he went back in, you know, afterwards, and he's watching a film. He said, "Damn, I got caught twice from behind. You know, I gotta get my speed back." So, you know, and who knows if his boys aren't saying, "Hey, Lamar, what are all these dudes catching you for?" And everything. You know, so he said, "Man, I'm getting faster and quicker. That's one thing that I'm gonna do," and he did.
And that's a huge change for this offense. You think back to when Lamar was finishing runs and having some of these 60, 70-yard touchdown runs and stuff. I mean, they were explosive as any team in the league. And last year, you didn't get that. I mean, look, they were great last year. They were the best team in football until they weren't. But in terms of him specifically, he wasn't able to kind of break it. And I would say the last 2 years, he hasn't really been able to break away from the defense the way that he used to early in his career. I didn't really have a concern about him at this weight because this is kind of similar to the weight he was at when he won the first MVP, when they were playing with Greg Roman's system that year. So I think a lot of it when it comes to him, I think a lot of people are quick to panic when it comes to, and rightfully so. I mean, as he goes, the franchise goes. So I totally understand it. But I think when you hear him talk, and especially when you watch him play, he's not concerned about a lot of the same things that everybody else is concerned about. Let's switch gears. Let's go to the defensive side of the ball. Let's hear from Nnamdi Matabike. Here he is talking about players getting ramped up without preseason reps.
I wouldn't say so. You know, I guess obviously it's a different game. It was the first game of the season on Thursday. It was a little different, maybe a little jitters here and there. But I think we got settled in as the game went on. You know, we just fell short by a couple of inches, literally. So, you know, not a good taste in the mouth. But, you know, we're here to go and practice and bounce back and get focused.
And that was the question I had asked him, you know, because it was a lot of ugly football in week one.
Yeah.
And this isn't the first time it's been this
especially
way.
Especially by the offense. Yeah. I mean, like quarterback production.
Way down.
Was, yes.
Way down. And, it, you know, we've seen less and less starters play in the preseason, especially here in Baltimore. So, you know, my question was just, did it feel like it took some time to fully feel like, all right, this is a real game now? I mean, we saw the communication issues they were dealing with, the substitution issues they're dealing with. A lot of that stuff is week one stuff in its own right, but I think it's also magnified because these guys, the starters, aren't out there a lot in the preseason.
Yeah, I mean, they're working the kinks out. You know, in like when I was in the NFL, the starters played in three preseason games. Three. I mean, you'd play the first or second series in the first one. Second one, you'd play through the first quarter and a half. And the third one, you played all the way into the third quarter. You know, because they wanted you to go through halftime and have you coming out after halftime and stuff. So I think that's difference. And then you know what that does too, Cordell? I mean, when it's this hot, this time, beginning of the year, this guy's, you're going from zero plays to 70.
Yeah.
And that is, I mean, I'll guarantee you there was a lot of IVs around the league at halftime.
What was the Sunday night game? Was that
Detroit and the Rams?
So it wasn't that one. Maybe it was the Friday night game out in Brazil, because I feel like that was what the broadcast was bringing up about the temperatures on the field, the humidity, and a lot of those guys. This is the most they played since last year, you know. So fatigue is definitely a big part of it at the start of the year. Let's hear from Kyle Hamilton. We all saw that busted coverage on the play that Xavier Worthy scored on. I think it was his second touchdown of the game, and a lot of people were pointing the finger at Marlon Humphrey. Here's Kyle Hamilton taking responsibility.
Yeah, that was on me, 100%. I was supposed to go back to the half. I played the wrong call. It wasn't on Zach Gore. It wasn't on Marlon or anybody else. It was on me. If you watch the play, you could probably tell that we're missing a half safety, and I got kind of mixed up and supposed to go back to the half and take the blame for that.
So it sounds like he was never supposed, because on that play, he is up right at the line of scrimmage.
No doubt.
It sounds like he was never supposed to be there, and you watch it on the all 22, you see everybody on that second level, including the corners and linebackers, they're kind of playing that short zone. And I'm imagining, and I see Marcus Williams on the back half on the other side.
Right.
But there is nobody there on Marlin's side.
As a matter of fact, I think it was Jackson that was back there on the other side.
Oh, it might have been Jackson. Okay.
But yeah, you're exactly right. And he didn't even attempt to go back. I mean, maybe, I don't know, he didn't, because they do that when he disguises sometimes, then they take off and sprint back there just to try to confuse.
And that's a long way to go, even if,
yes,
especially against Worthy.
But, I mean, we've said this many a time, I mean, that kind of fit the way that he played. I mean, it fit right in with the way he played. I thought it's one of the worst games I've seen him play in a long time, and I think he's if not the best safety in the league, one of them. And it was just disappointing in the opening game of the season, especially when he had a hell of a camp. Or maybe Cordell, the time that he missed, got hurt two different times during camp. I don't know, but he was not, it didn't seem like he was as engaged mentally and stuff as he was in the championship game.
Let's hear from another guy that struggled on Thursday night on that side of the ball, Roquan Smith. Here's Roquan talking about members of the defense holding themselves accountable.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the main thing. It's always about looking yourself in the mirror first and foremost before you can ever approach anyone else with something. And it's something that Coach DeLeon told us came from more so Jody. Like, you know, when you look yourself in the mirror after each and every day, if everyone practiced or played like you, how would the game fare out? And I think if you ask yourself that type of question, then that should give you your answer.
And well, it did.
Yeah, if everybody played, and I love Roquan. Don't get it twisted. I do, but it was a struggle for him Thursday night. Hamilton as well. And look, these are the two best players on that side of the ball, and they both probably had their worst game in a very long time.
And the thing that sucks is they both had it at the same time,
yeah.
Which is, you know, against the team that you're
trying chasing.
To. Yes. So that was bad time. And I expect both of them, and I expect both to play well. And to me, how you get Hamilton, it's like a wide receiver. You know, you want to get him the ball early. And I think with Hamilton, you want him to get involved, or I'd be blitzing him, or, you know, have him coming early to get involved in the game.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get back to Vinny's film. We already looked at the Raiders offense. Let's check out the Raiders defense. Could they pose a problem for this Ravens offense? We'll talk about it next here on The Fan.
Breaking down every last second of game tape for Sunday's matchup.
Who's your connection?
You sound like a cop to me.
Who's your connection?
Enter Vinny's film room on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. We're going until 2 o'clock right here on The Fan. Coming up at 1 o'clock, we'll talk to Andrew Catalan. He'll be doing the play-by-play for CBS on Sunday for the Ravens-Raiders game. And speaking of that, we looked at the Raiders offense earlier. Let's check out that Raiders defense.
Yeah, this Raiders defense is good, Cordell. I mean, the chart, I said earlier, the game was 7-6 at the half with the Raiders leading. The Chargers were 0 of 7 on third down the first half. And the Chiefs had 88 yards at the half. So they came out, the Raiders came out blitzing off the bus. And they were going to blitz every third down. They pressured Herbert. They got to him. They hit him. They confused him. And then in the red zone, they were coming again. So they played an awesome first half defensively. Now, in the second half defensively, they gave up two long runs to J.K. Dobbins, a 46-yarder and a 61. They gave up 107 yards of their 176 yards rushing on two plays. If you took those two plays out, they had 25 carries for 69 yards rushing. So they didn't move the ball. They hit two big plays, and that's what they did. And let me talk about some of their talent, because I think they're really good. I think their defensive line, Max Crosby, will be number 98. John Jenkins, the nose tackle, 95. Crosby is going to play on both sides. He's going to play on both sides and against the Ravens. I'm thinking that he may play more on McCary's side.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would do. Now, and he's a relentless fool. He can rush the passer. He's got speed. He can play to run. He is a very good football player. So he's going to give you, if they play 60 plays, he's playing 60 plays hard. So it's going to be a dogfight for the Ravens offensive line. Now, John Jenkins, number 95, the nose tackle, 326 pounds. He is a very good run player. Very good. Does a really good job fundamentally of keeping his shoulders square. He can find the football. He can punch. He can lock out. He can shed. So he does a really nice job on the inside. Now, Christian Wilkins, 94. He'll be the left defensive tackle at most times. And most times for the defense, Wilkins will line up over the Ravens' right guard, and Crosby will line up over the Ravens' right tackle. So expect a tight end or somebody to be over on that right side quite a bit. But Wilkins, he was a free agent who played for the Dolphins last year and was very good.
Mm-hmm.
He came up here. He was outstanding. Outstanding. He can play the run. He's kind of like Matabike.
He's one of the better D tackles in football.
No doubt. And it shows. And he was dominant in that game. Falele's got his work cut out for him. Because he's got strong hands. He's quick. He can punch, lock out, shed. He can find a football. He can play the run, play the pass. And he's getting paid. I love the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's awesome. And then their right defensive end, rookie, their first-round pick, Tyree Wilson, he's going to be out. So he was okay. But they have another one. Number 69, Adam Butler, plays defensive tackle. He'll play over Voorhees a lot of the time. He's a stud. I mean, he's quick. He's got spin moves. He can rush the passer. I mean, they got three guys in my mind, Crosby, Wilkins, and Butler, that really rush the passer, use their hands well, got body control, spin, do all that. They're going to cause havoc. They're going to cause havoc. And it's going to be tough to run on them. It's going to be extremely tough to run on them. And like I said, the Chargers had a 61 and a 46. One was on third and one, so they were all boxed in there, and they hit a crease, and there was nobody back there. And the other was second and three, which was the same scenario. So it is going to be, you know, you say, oh, they got 176 yards. They're last in the league against the rush. And the Ravens, this is a day for Derrick Henry. Got to think twice about that. Mm-hmm. These dudes are pretty good. Now, their linebackers, number five is Divine Diablo, third-round pick in 21. They play a lot of nickel and dime, so he's not on the field a lot. I thought he was okay. Robert Spillane, I really like him. You know, he played for the Steelers, and he's just a football player. He's just a good football player. Mm-hmm. He's smart, makes plays. He's around the ball. Is he the most athletic guy? No, but he's a good football player. And I think their corners, I like Ja'Corian Bennett. I think he's a good player. He's number zero.
Rookie he can play from Maryland.
What's that?
Said rookie from Maryland.
Yeah, I think he is a good player for them. And then Jack Jones, the left corner, I'd go after him before I'd go after Ja'Corian Bennett. Now, the two safeties, number one and number seven, thought they could be inconsistent tacklers is the big thing there. So I think you can kind of take advantage of there if you have time to throw it. I just don't know if they're going to have a lot of time to throw it. That's why I think with the mismatch that they have up front, and I think it's a big mismatch, that Lamar's going to be running for his life some. The ball's going to have to come out quick, just like it did last week. So, you know, quick screens. I'm guessing Andrews is going to be much more involved this week, likely with the quick screens. How are they going to cover the tight ends? That's going to be interesting to see how they're going to cover the tight ends. Spillane's not a guy that can run with them or cover with them, so it's going to be interesting to see what they do with Likely. Because if he has time to throw, I think he can take advantage of it. But I don't know that he's going to have a ton of time, you know, to throw. I mean, Herbert's an outstanding quarterback, passer, and all those things. And Herbert was 17 to 26 for 144 yards. Had a 92 quarterback rating. Didn't turn the ball. He didn't turn the ball over. Had one touchdown pass. And you know this. Harbs and John and his staff, you know they were on the phone Sunday night or Monday with the Charger coaches. What'd you think? And went over all their personnel and all that. So that's an advantage for the Ravens. So I really like the Ravens' defensive front. I hope they're not as dominant as they were against the Chargers. But they're really good players. And they're really good players, Cordell. And they make a lot of money, too.
Yeah, they do. And, of course, Ja'Corian Bennett, not a rookie, second-year player out of Maryland, drafted in the fourth round last year from the Terps. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. I don't anticipate Lamar having a lot of standstill time in the pocket. I don't know how often that's going to happen anyway this year in general, but definitely with that front group that the Raiders have. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll bring in Andrew Catalan from CBS. He'll be on the play-by-play for the game on Sunday. We'll get his thoughts on this matchup next here on The Fan.